Welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. Here are your hosts, Brooks and Drew.
Okay, we would now like to welcome on a very, very, very special guest, a man who is synonymous with just about all things Jacksonville State. He's in the Gamecock Hall of Fame. He was made the Alabama Sports Broadcaster of the Year a couple years ago. You name it, he's seen it. And it goes simply by The Voice, Mike Paris. Mike, thank you so much for doing this. We really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Hey, guys, looking forward to it. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. we'll start off, you know, like you said, been here a long time. You're going into your 43rd year with Jack State, is that correct?
That's correct, yes, sir.
So, you know, I'm sure you've told this story, you know, a thousand times. But for those who may not know, just kind of tell us a little bit about how, you know, what led you to want to be to want to work in radio, and what eventually led you to Jack State.
Well, it was a different world back then, many years ago. I'll put it that way. You know, there was no talk radio. This was before ESPN and all that. But I love sports. I played all my life and wanted to stay involved. So I got into radio for that very reason. Went to broadcasting school when I graduated from high school and got my first job in Carrollton, Georgia. And walked in, I guess you could say I was very lucky. There wasn't anybody there. It was an AM-FM combo, and nobody really cared anything about sports. So I started to work right before the beginning of high school football season, way back in 1979. And the guy was the general manager. They had already set their plans up of what they were going to do that year. You got to remember, no cell phones or anything like that. So it ended up, they had one school in the local area that they didn't have anybody to cover them on Friday nights. And they ended up had one of the greatest years to that point in time in school history. Got to the region championship game, and that was the first time they'd been in the playoffs forever, whatnot. So the first game I did in my career, first broadcast ever, was the region championship game in 1979, Model High School versus Villarica. They had to play it at Grisham Stadium in Carrollton because Villarica was to host the game, and their stadium wasn't big enough, didn't meet the High School Association standards for seating capacity and that sort of thing. So, but that was the first game that I did. And from that point on, the general manager told me if there was something we could do sports-wise and they could sell it with the sales staff, then we'd do it. So he pretty much, from that point on, just turned that over to me. And then the next year, you know, we had a full schedule, full slate of games we did, and just rolled from there. And then while I was there, they started resurrected the West Georgia football program, been dormant since 1957, brought it back, and they played their first game in 1981, and I did the broadcast there during that very first year in 1981 as well, and off and running from that point in time, and loved it ever since, obviously. As a buddy of mine tells me, how bad can your life be? They pay you to go to ball games. So,
awesome. Mr. Paris, one thing that I wanted to kind of start with, or talking about how you got started at Jack State and things like that. When you first got started with university, did at least from the football program standpoint, like where the program is now, up at the FBS level in the Conference USA, did that ever seem kind of the trajectory the program was on to you at any point? Because it caught me and Brooks, and we're a lot younger, but it caught me and Brooks really by surprise how fast it went. And I was wondering if you had the same idea that we did.
Oh, I got to tell you, no, I did not. 1983 was my first year. I came to work in Anniston, went to work radio station Anniston for Malcolm Street. It was a longtime voice, the guy that I replaced. He had been there roughly 45 years doing the Jacksonville State games. So I was hired right before the start of high school football season in August of 83. And he pretty much turned the Jacksonville State games over to me. We worked together the first couple of years. And he pretty much put me in the hot seat, I'll call it, from that standpoint. Let me do the play-by-play. And it was obviously, again, walked into a great situation, wonderful opportunity. They were coming off a year in 1982 in which they had gotten to the semifinal round of the Division II playoffs. I think there was a controversial call in there. They might have been in the championship game. And so in 83, had quite a few losses from that 82 team, guys graduating. And it was, I won't say a rebuilding year. And Jim Fuller was the head coach, and he and Ray Perkins had played together at Alabama. And Paul Bear Bryant had just retired. Of course, just prior to that, Perkins became the head coach at Alabama. And so Fuller left after that first year to join him on the staff at Alabama. So, but where the program is now, I had no idea at that point in time that it would be where it is today, quite honestly. And I don't, probably when Jack Crow was hired as the head coach, after the 99 season, I think he was probably the guy that had the aspirations. We had made the move to Division One. We were playing what at that time was 1AA football, now FCS football. But shortly after he became the head coach, he was talking about making the move to what was then 1A football and what is now FBS football. He was the guy that really, I guess, started talking about it at that point in time, shortly after he was hired. So that's when things, I guess you could say, started looking to getting to the biggest level of college football. But going back from 83, really, until we left Division II, I didn't really see it at that point in time. And some other schools were making the move to Division II and headed to Division I. And I guess that's, what got started with our people, and it took off from there. And, we won the national title our last chance in 1992. We'd played for it, three times up until that point, and finally got it done then in 92 in our last chance.
Nice. You talk about, us moving up and making these big jumps and finding success at higher levels. Did it ever cross your mind, maybe after all those years in the 90s and, of course, and the memorable calls that you made, maybe you taking that next step to, a bigger school?
Well, these jobs don't come along every day. If you look, most of the guys that have these jobs have had them for a number of years, or if one opens and a guy gets it, he keeps it for a number of years. So, if you just looking at Jacksonville State, so this will be two guys in 88 years, I guess, Jacksonville State, as far as football goes from that standpoint or broadcast wise. So, there were a couple of times, tried to get in the mix on some jobs, but it didn't work out for me. And so we ended up making the move to Division I. Now, it's a job that when I decide to give it up, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people that'll be interested in this job at Jacksonville State. So, came in the Division II days, and then we make the move and play in what was then 1AA football. And we had some growing pains, and then we made the playoffs after we joined the Ohio Valley Conference, won it in the first 2 years and got the automatic bid to the playoffs, and then again in 10. But to me, what really started us on this trajectory was when Bill Clark was hired as our head coach in 2013. I understand he was just there 1 year, but what he did in that 1 year, I think, really set us up and opened eyes to things, to what we could do. We got to the quarterfinal round of the playoffs, and we had two big injuries in the last five plays of the first half of the game in the quarterfinals out at Eastern Washington, or maybe we win that game and get to the semis that year. I don't know, but we really took off at that point in time with that 2013 season, I think, and it's really rolled since then from a football standpoint.
Yeah, we give Bill Clark a lot of credit, kind of like you said, even though he's here for just 1 year, for putting the program, like you said, on track to kind of see what you do today. And we even spoke to Josh Barge, and he kind of did the same thing. Right. He was only here for 1 year, but kind of what he was able to do in 365 days has kind of set us up for success. And, Coach Gross and Rich Rod, and, the list goes on from there. But, I think what Bill Clark did, like you said, in just 1 year with the quarterfinal appearance and this and that was the biggest leap for Jack State in terms of getting to where they are today.
He, uh, I think discipline was a part of that with what he installed discipline-wise and I'll say work ethic that he brought, not to say that prior to him that it hadn't happened. It was just, I think he took it to the next level. Maybe we had plateaued a little bit and he was able to elevate us and change the way that we did some things that they had been done prior to his becoming the head coach. That year we didn't win the OVC. We got an at-large bid to the playoffs and ended up, as I said, to the quarterfinals. And then we'd win the conference title, five straight years from 14 through 18 with John Gross leading the way. Didn't win it in 19 and came back, won it then in 20 during the pandemic year, where we actually finished that 20 season in the spring of 21. But, we had got to the championship game and guy was a pretty high draft choice. And Carson Wentz, we learned why he was going to be a pretty high draft pick, I think, in the championship game. And North Dakota State was just outstanding, I thought, in 2015. What a great run we had winning the conference titles and being in the playoffs. And I still say in all of my years, the best three, the most electric environments in the time I've been at Jacksonville State as far as football crowds go were the three playoff games in that 2015 season. We got a bye the first round, played Chattanooga, in a pretty good rivalry there through the years. We beat them in that first game of the playoffs in 15. Then we play a very good Charleston Southern team, a Friday night game. And Tremaine Pope went off, ran for 275, I think, something like that. He had a big night. Eli Jenkins had a terrific night. We win that one and scored a bunch of points in that game. And then you go to the semifinal round and Sam Houston had beaten us at home in the playoffs the previous year. We get a rematch with him and just dominated that game and won it 54-10. Just a real easy win, really, from that standpoint in the semifinals. So we didn't win the national title, got to the championship game, but I dare say that bunch in the 89 team that didn't got to the championship game but didn't win it, those, in my opinion, probably the two most talented teams in my 43 years and doing the Jacksonville State broadcast, those are probably the two most talented teams we've had.
And, you mentioned those teams that Gross had, and this is something that we've kind of talked about. Always be grateful for what John Gross did, really, really taking us to that next level of FCS, I won't say dominance, but prominence is a little bit better word. But for him to take what, it started with Bill Clark in that one year, and he just ran with it, made that national championship appearance, winning the conference 5 years in a row, making playoff appearances. But it kind of was bittersweet his last couple of years because I do think that the discipline was lacking. There was a lot more penalties. There was just something missing in those last couple of years that he was there, and I don't think it would have necessarily transitioned well to our jump to FBS. I'll always certainly be grateful for what Coach Gross did. And, again, taking the ball and running with it, and leading into the Rich Rod era and now Charles Kelly. So speaking of Charles Kelly, talk a little bit about this upcoming season. I know you hadn't gotten a chance to go out to practice and see the start of fall camp yet, but just kind of give us your initial thoughts on the season, what you expect from Charles Kelly and this bunch?
Well, like we've done the last couple of years, first thing is, the majority of our guys are going to be new guys first year of the program. And I think you start with Coach Kelly. This will be his first head coaching job at the collegiate level. So I think that's an unknown to some degree. Now, he's worked for some great coaches, no doubt about that, throughout the SEC and around the country and been around some great people, obviously. He's been a part of national championship programs where he's been in the past. I first met him when he got his start was at Jacksonville State, came from Auburn, and his first full-time job in college was with Coach Bill Burgess on that staff. And, So I've known him going back to those days, back in the, what, I guess mid to late 90s was what it was. I will tell you this, some of the summer workouts I saw, it's going to be, I'll say, different, and every coach is different, but I think whereas you could go to practice and in the Rich Rod days, the 3 years he was here, and I'll say there was a lot of noise at practice, I'll put it that way, you know, with things. It'll be a little different, I think, with Coach Kelly. And I'll be interested to see, you know, coaches are somewhat more CEOs now, you know, they're not hands-on like they were at one time and whatnot, because it's a different world as far as college athletics as a whole. So interested to see how involved, you know, he may be in the day-to-day coaching and practice and that sort of thing. I guess you could say I have an idea of what he wants to do offensively, but that, you know, his philosophy there, and then defensively what he wants to do. And, you know, he's been a defensive guy for the majority of his career, although he did, you know, with Coach Burgess, and then when Mike Williams followed him, he was on the offensive side of the football at one time as well. So a lot of new faces, a lot of new guys. I think that's going to be a thing, blending, meshing those guys together with the returnees that we've got from last year. And, it, you know, the just some unknowns. The league's going to be different because we're adding Delaware this year, and Missouri State will both come in. The last year for UTEP, and it'll also be the last year for Louisiana Tech. So it's everything is, you know, it's sort of crazy right now, the world we're in college football, because we're college athletics as a whole. Every year's different now. In some ways, you know, you're looking at, you know, high school, they can't recruit, supposedly can't recruit. So, you know, when you have a big senior class and it's a whole new bunch coming in the next year, and in some ways that's the way it is in college athletics. You know, Rich Rod comes in 22 and takes over. We had a whole new team basically then, and then in 23, a whole bunch of new faces, and 24 was the same way. And it's, I think that's something we all have to adjust to. People ask me, you know, and what I do, what's one of the differences now? The first thing I'll throw out there is the differences. You know, in the old days, you lose guys in your senior class, they graduate and go, run out of eligibility, whatever. But, you know, you had everybody coming back. So there were only, you know, a few guys you had to learn from year to year with your team. And then for your opponents, the conference schedule you play, you're pretty much familiar with them when you were at that time, because same situation, bunch of guys coming back from year to year. It's not that way anymore. You're learning, you got a whole new team basically to learn for your team, but you also have to do it for your opponent, that your conference opponents that you see every year, because they're in the same boat you're in. The majority of their guys are going to be new guys coming in. So it's from that, the prep from that standpoint is different now than it was in the old days, as I'll put it.
Yeah, and that's what we've talked about throughout the offseason. You know, Jack State is 135th or 136th in returning production. That's only 136 teams.
Yeah.
So they are way, way, way towards the bottom of returning production. And one thing that, you know, Coach Kelly talked about in media days, first day in office, you know, the lack of scholarship players and one quarterback on roster. There was one corner on roster, and what him and his staff have had to do to get the program or get this team up to where it wants to. And me and Brooks and you know, the group we kind of have on Twitter that talks to us, you look at the roster breakdown, and I think you feel really good about the defense. Coach Kelly being a defensive guy, kind of build the defense the way he wants to, especially the front seven. I know the spring game, who they're playing against the offensive line, second string, third string, and stuff may make a difference. But what Oibadejo and Curtis Pay were able to do in the spring game was really impressive. You know, we have Petway and Recksteiner back. I think we always feel good about the offensive line if Coach Trickett's still here. Like, when you sit down and look at it, we kind of come to the conclusion that quarterback might be the position that is the biggest uncertainty for us. Now, there's a lot of new names everywhere, but interested to see, and I think the program really likes Gavin Wimsatt to be the guy for this year. I just wanted to get your thoughts on you know, do you agree with the, you know, quarterback being the biggest question mark, and out of the three or four that will compete for the job, if there's anyone that you like over one of the others?
Well, I'll be honest, outside of Caden Creel, who's been here redshirted and played a little bit last year, the other guys I really don't know a whole lot about because I hadn't seen them. I think if we played today or tomorrow, Wimsatt would be the guy based on, you know, what I know. Coach Kelly did tell me, you know, one of the times it was around in the spring, that one thing he will not be short on is quarterbacks. He's going to have some options. He won't have just a couple of guys. I think he's probably going to have five or six around all the time, because that's just one of his beliefs. And, you know, the game, the way the game is played now and in this day and age of college football we're in, you know, I think quarterback is the most important position. As you pointed out or asked, I think that's the number one spot right now that you look at for Jacksonville State is, you know, what about the QB spot? Who's going to handle that? And I would think, especially early, and we saw this last year, you know, Rich Rod in the 24 season, we played two or three guys in the early going last year before Tyler Huff took control and won the job and nailed it down. And I think we'll see the same thing. You know, we open at UCF and then boom, you got Liberty coming in and a big early season game in Conference USA play. So we'll find out a lot, I think, early quarterback wise, but we'll see some different guys. I think we've got a stable of running backs. I think probably, even though we lost our best receiver in Cam Vaughn, I think probably more depth wide receiver. I think we're probably going to find a guy there that can stretch the field some as well. We got some additional tight ends. You know, we lost Sean Brown. Thank you. I went brain dead there. See, when you get old, these things happen. I lost Sean Brown. We lose him. So I think that's, you know, there's some big shoes to fill there because he was very productive the last 2 years at that tight end spot for us. So. And, you know, I got faith in Coach Trickett. But Will Osteen, 3-year starter, you know, his first game as a redshirt freshman through his junior season. I mean, he was an anchor there, didn't miss a game. He was a starter every time, got to replace him. And I think that's a big void at this point in time, replacing him. And you know, I know we got a couple other spots on the O-line. I'll say this, you mentioned the defense and talked about it. They're going to be young, but you can tell a difference in our size up front, our size up front as compared to the last couple of years on that defensive side of the football. We're going to be bigger. You know, I look for Carter to have, he's a guy that played very well, I thought, as a freshman last year. And hopefully he can, you know, take that next step and elevate the game even more. I thought really the last half of the season last year, he made a big difference for us up front. And, you know, you got some other guys I hope that can also, who are coming back and elevate their game. And some of those youngsters are going to play as true freshmen. I'll call them puppies. They're going to have to grow up in a hurry too.
Sir, absolutely. Yeah, you, like you said, look at, you know, I think Osteen was, and he was a late, you know, departure.
Yeah.
In the cycle, which probably doesn't help either, at left tackle. Obviously, you're already losing Clay Webb to the NFL. So, you know, the left side of the offensive line, which was, you know, the best position group maybe on the offense beside quarterback last year, and what Tracer was able to do as far as importance goes, you lose those two guys, it's going to be tough to replace also.
I spent some time talking to Coach Trickett one day, and we were talking about Osteen, and he's probably, if he can get to the next level in play, it's probably going to be at center, and that's where he's playing at North Carolina, and I think he's in the mix to be their starting center at North Carolina this year in his last year of college football.
Good. Yeah, he's certainly a talented guy.
And speaking of Osteen, his younger brother, Walker, not as big, redshirted his first year and then played some special teams and got a little action defensively, sort of an outside backer, maybe a DB hybrid guy. I think he's a guy you can look at this year that I think he's got a chance maybe to have a breakout season this year as well.
Yeah, absolutely. He's, you know, the camp competition for snaps, especially defensively, is going to be something to kind of keep track of. With, I mean, there's going to be pretty much 11 new starters on defense for the most part. So there'll be a lot of snaps open for the taking for the spring or for summer camp.
Well, they got out on the practice field, you know, and you got that, I'll call it acclimation period. You know, you go in you go in helmets and you go in shells. So, next Monday will be the first day they get into full pads. And I always go back to what Coach Burgess used to say years ago. He referred to practicing without pads and not being in full gear as, running around in your underwear out there. And he said, everybody looks like an All-American when you're running around in your underwear out there. As he put it, you find out who the men are and who wants to play when you get in full pads and start hitting each other upside the head a little bit and whatnot. So we'll, you know, start next week. We'll learn a whole lot more, I think, and then go from there before we play the 28th against UCF.
Yeah, and I'm kind of glad you brought that up. You know, that's something I talked about on the interview we did last night. You know, with all these new guys coming in, yes, they're, you know, they're D1 transfers, and they transfer here for a reason. But I think it's a lot of talent. It's a lot of really good looking athletes. But I think we're going to be able. I think this group of coaches, Kelly's put together a really solid staff, and I think he's going to be able to get the most that they possibly can out of these guys. Especially, you know, compared to, you know, the defenses that they were facing in the SEC and the Big 12 and some of these bigger conferences. I think where they are, they're going to be, you know, best set up to be successful. Who is that name though, that came in, you know, out of the Cam Vaughn or the Cam Cooks, the Curtis Perrys? Trevor Woods, a big name that we're looking at, DeAndre Johnson's, you know, out of that group of, you know, a little bit bigger school transfers, what is one name that really sticks out to you that you think that, you know, this guy's going to be the guy, I guess is the way to say it.
I won't plead the fifth on that. I don't know, because there's, you know, you lose basically the top three guys. Even though the portal wasn't open, we win the championship last December, Conference USA, Friday night, Saturday morning, you got your top three guys defensively already saying, hey, we're in the portal, we're going to be gone. So, you know, is it going to be somebody linebacker? Is it going to be a guy up front? Or maybe it's two or three guys up front, you know, that do that. And then you lost guys in the secondary. Is it going to be somebody from last year that picks it up or adds to what they did last year? Is it going to be one of those new guys? So I'm not going to answer that one yet. If you have me on later, then we'll talk about it. I just want to see some practice, you know, see them get their feet under and practice and take it from there and see what happens.
Yeah, yes, sir. Absolutely. And, you know, all that we've seen also is what we saw in the spring game and this and that. And the one name that we've kind of been pushing, you know, everybody, and I think the spring game, him showing out, kind of helped, was Emmanuel Oyibadejo. As far as, you know, we got to speak to Rich Rod, and Rich Rod really liked him. He wasn't eligible last year. I know that the foreign, being in England and coming over is really weird on eligibility, and I don't even pretend to understand all that stuff. But I do know that Rich Rod was really high on Emmanuel, so that's someone that we're excited about. But Brooks, unless you have some other questions for him for the year, you'll kind of wind down, Mr. Paris. If you just want to tell us, paint us a picture, a couple of your favorite moments from your time at Jack State. It can be, you know, recent. I know the 92 championship is going to be something you might point to, but Ole Miss, Florida State, and even, you know, La Tech last year. So some of your favorite moments, favorite calls, favorite games, football, basketball, whatever you want to pick out and highlight, we'd love to hear it.
Jeez, we'd be here all night, man. I could talk about stuff like that forever. Obviously, and, you know, some people will sort of turn their noses up. It was Division II, but you win a national championship. I don't care what level you're playing at, wherever you are at that point in time, and you win a national title. I don't think you can top that. So I go back to the 92 championship, and again, it was the last chance we had to win it. We had played for it in 89, then in 91, and we beat, you know, in 91, we lose to Pittsburgh State. Then we got some revenge the next year and win that one. And so we were, I'll never forget, we got back after the ball game, waiting. The bus came in shortly after us, and when they bussed home from Florence, and our guys were getting off the bus, and Coach Jones, Bill Jones, basketball coach, was standing there, and he said, you know, these guys don't care right now that it was a Division II national championship, that it wasn't one of the at the big time level. They just know they won a national title. And, you know, we were the best we could be at that point in time. So that will always stick out after having come close and having been there and finally getting the win there. You mentioned Florida State, that one, the Ole Miss game. I mentioned earlier the playoff games at home in 2015 and just electric crowds. And the student body was terrific. The Chattanooga game, I think that one was Thanksgiving weekend. We were out of school, but they were there then. They were there the Friday night game against Charleston Southern. You got Sam Houston the next week. Finals were over. They were Christmas break had hit, but yet they were there for that game too. And the local community as well, you know, we filled the stadium up with those games, and it was great, just great atmosphere for all three of those. Beating Chattanooga in overtime like we did, get the pick there on their overtime possession, and then Eli scores a touchdown. I mentioned Charleston Southern, where Buster ran wild, and then everybody, I think, probably ran wild offense and defense against Sam Houston. So all of those, 2015 earlier in the year at Auburn, a game that quite honestly we should have won, could have beaten them down there. Josh Barge, I know you've had him on, Barge and Gonzalez, Ruben Gonzalez, so what days they had at wide receiver that day, you know, and made some terrific plays in that game. And that's one that sticks out, even though we didn't win it. You know, that's a game that sticks out for me. And I'll go back to the very first game I did at Jacksonville State, 1983. Played at Chattanooga in their old place, a little tiny little Chamberlain Field. I'll remember that game. Got beat 13-6. They had two linebackers, I think, that made every tackle that day. So that one's, you know, just from a personal standpoint, because it was the first one, you know, I remember that one. Basketball, obviously, 85 championship game, winning the national title. I'd only been at Jacksonville State 2 years, and I thought, hey, it's pretty cool, pretty neat, winning a national title. And I realized it wasn't going to be that easy all the time, you know, because the first two games that year I didn't do. They played in the tournament and lost the first one. Then we win 31 straight games, and then what, the first six or seven the next year before we got beat. So, you know, that was a special year in 85. And then, you know, our two NCAA tournament teams, since we made the move to Division I, that was the one thing, being in the NCAA tournament, you know, from a selfish standpoint, that I wanted us to get there. And I didn't know, you know, we had some very tough years in basketball after the move. But we finally got there. And then this year, NIT, we win a game at Georgia Tech. And, you know, that's one that'll stick out. Jerome Pierre, what a night he had that night. I'll remember that one forever. And then in baseball, the two championships in 91 and 92 there. Excuse me, 90 and 91, I should say, with Coach Abbott winning back-to-back titles after, again, being close there before. And then after the move to Division I, the first NCAA regional we were in back in 03 at Georgia Tech, that one, you know, I'll remember that one. And from there, you know, and we were at Tuscaloosa in a regional in 06, at Auburn in 10. And then Ole Miss at 14, and then again at Ole Miss in 19, and we got to the regional final that year. And I go back to the 2014 conference tournament. We lose the first game of the tournament. That was the 16 field they had at that time in the OVC. And we did something that had never been done and probably never will be done again. We lose the first game, and we come back and eliminate everybody else. We won five straight games in the next, 3 days, and just unbelievable what those guys did that year. And then Jana McGinnis in softball, the great runs they had, you know, in the early 2010 decade, I guess. So she was the NCAA regional, four or five years in a row there. They did something like that in Knoxville in the regional, lost the first game there, and then came back through and had to beat Tennessee twice on their home field in Knoxville to win the regional, which they did, and then went on to the super regional in Tuscaloosa that year. So those are the big moments, so to speak, are some of my memories there. And there's a whole lot more I could go through, but those are the ones, you know, that stand out at this point in time.
Yeah, that's outstanding. Couple things, and I'll let Brooks kind of chime in here in a minute. But we do trivia with everybody that comes on. You have already ruined my trivia, which is awesome. I didn't really know what to ask that you wouldn't know. I didn't really expect to be able to find anything. So I did go back to your first football game and stadium score, who it was against, was pretty much all that I had. So We've already covered that, so I don't have to go through all the trivia stuff, which is good. And then you bring up Auburn just for a minute, because that's something that gets brought up a lot, being, you know, fairly recent.
Right.
And I think you end up talking about the losses more than the wins for a lot of things, doing stuff like this is what we've learned. So we did kind of get Josh's opinion on it, and we're not going to say names, but, you know, had it not been for maybe the worst timed shank punt of all time, I think that game probably goes a little bit differently, which is
there were a couple of things in the kicking game that let us down that hurt us that day. And yep. When you're playing somebody like that, it'll be the same scenario. We go to UCF to open the season this year. You've got, you know, when you go play somebody at that level, and especially playing at their place, you don't have to be perfect, but you can't afford the little things come back to bite you. And those were a couple of things that got us. So, and I don't know, Malzahn might have gotten fired that day had we beat him. I don't know, you know. So, and you know, we go back down there next year, I think, aren't we, to Auburn and play in 27?
Yeah, get him next year. That's one that me and Brooks have circled. We were there for the first one. We didn't leave real happy. We left with our heads held high, I guess.
Right.
Same way I left Columbia, South Carolina, you know, last or 2 years ago now.
Another game we should have won.
And
people forget, you know, we beat Ole Miss in 2010. We did beat Florida State down there in 21. But you go back to 2009 with a little over a minute to go in a game. We are actually under a minute to go in a game. We're beating Florida State and Bobby Bowden 9-7 that night in Tallahassee. Yeah. And they score with inside of a minute to go in the game, went for two, didn't get it, kick off to us, and then we fumble, they recover, and they score again. We end up losing 19-9 as they scored two touchdowns in the last minute of the game, but we led them that day. And then in COVID, in 20, if you remember, we played four games in FCS football. They allowed you to play four non-conference games if you desired in the fall, up to four, then your conference schedule was going to be in the spring that year. Well, we're at Florida State in October of 20 and actually led them in the third quarter of the game down there. And they came back and won it. And then we go down there and beat them in 21. And I don't know, people want to compare them, you know, which one was bigger. They were different games. I mean, we played with Florida State. You know, we'd been in the game all night in the game in 21. You look at the Ole Miss game, we were down, 31-10 late in the third quarter and kick a field goal. And then come back in the fourth quarter and turn it on. So just it was two different games and whatnot, but you know, we win those two. You think back at Auburn and again, another Florida State game and then South Carolina, you know, we're driving for the game winning touchdown, throw a pick six or we beat the other Gamecocks, as I like to call them that day. So I know Brooks is just waiting for us to go to Athens one day and get between the hedges one time and line it up.
I might go see a movie that day or, you know, just not watch that. But Mike, this has been an awesome interview. We've really enjoyed getting to spend time with you and listen to these great stories. You know, you mentioned that 2014 baseball tournament, and I remember, you know, of course that was the days before ESPN Plus was a thing. And I remember after we lost that first game, listening to you describe every game after that. And that blew my mind when we came back and won the conference tournament. That was the most excited non-football I've ever been for a Jack State event. And then you mentioned all those great Chattanooga games too. We have been leading the charge for them to make the jump next, because we want to bring back that rivalry. Yeah. I obviously want to play Troy too, but I love that Chattanooga rivalry.
The thing of going back to baseball at 14 and winning the tournament like that after losing the first game, if you follow baseball or people that know baseball, they know what a feat that was to do that. We lose on, I guess it was Wednesday. We play one game Thursday. We played two Friday and then two Saturday and then the one Sunday to win it. And we beat a Tennessee Tech team who had smoked us in the regular season. I mean, just beat us to death at their place in the three-game weekend series. It was Easter weekend. We got beat up on Thursday night, Friday, and Saturday. And you had some guys do some things during that you had to have. Some guys had to really step up, elevate their game, but they did it. And that was, you look back, guys that were senior pitchers that did some things like that, got a complete game from a couple of guys or at least seven innings out of them. I think there was one complete game. You had a guy, Taylor Shields from Hoke's Bluff, that pitched on basically 2 days rest. So to come back and against Tennessee Tech, shut them down. Then you had a guy that Graham Officer hadn't started a game in his career before and was lights out for the four innings he started in the tournament game. And then a freshman in Joe McGuire who came in, who had a big hit in the championship game on Sunday that we won. And so whoa, what a great time that was and something I'll remember forever.
Absolutely. And like I said, it's something that'll always stick with me too. Right. Real quick before we let you go, this is something that we ask all our guests that we bring on. This is something fun to finish up with. As you know, one of the things that makes Jacksonville so unique is the food and some of the great local restaurants that we have. And this is something that's always debated on Twitter and everything. We get in arguments about it, but I got to know, in your opinion, what do you think is the best meal in Jacksonville?
Ooh, boy, you're gonna get me in trouble here. All right, I'm gonna go this route: the Twin Burger Basket or Twin Barbecue at the Rocket. If you want to do that, or the ribs at Cooter Brown's, that's the way I'm going. Or if you want wings, Jefferson's. How's that? I got them all covered, I think. Right. So I don't want to make anybody mad. I'll please everybody.
I'm a Struts guy, but I know Drew's a big Coop guy. Mike, thank you so much for doing this. Like I said, this has been a blast. We've really enjoyed getting to talk to you and hear all these stories.
I appreciate you guys. Let me spend some time with you and talk about it. We'll do it again if you want to at some point in time.
Absolutely. We would love it.
Yes, sir, for sure.
Thank you so much.
Thank y'all.